Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most five-thumbed podcast network.
Hey, let's talk about it. Let's have that discussion. Who's the best, Sans Pants Radio or Planet Broadcasting? Want to find out? I sure do. I sure hope I picked the right podcast network to work for. Well, on February 20th, we're doing a live Plumbing the Death Star and then pitting Sans Pants against Planet Broadcasting in a game show to end all game shows hosted by yours truly and Dave Warnicki. And look, this is all very exciting, but it's not the main point of the event. Australia is currently being ravaged by bushfires and we want to do our part. So all ticket sales will be donated to Wildlife Victoria. So not only will you be able to see two titans of industry go head to head, you'll also be providing support and relief to the people putting their lives on the line for Australia's wildlife. Head to sanspantsradio.com/live to grab your tickets ASAP and come and see if I picked the right network or if I fucked up monumentally.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Plumbing the Death Star, where we ask important questions like, which fictional villain do you secretly wish had won?
Okay, so I'm picking, you might not remember this as the person's name, but yes. I'm going to describe them, because I didn't remember this. Jeff Skinner from Ratatouille. Jeff Skinner being the diminutive chef that becomes really angry when he realizes there's a rat cooking in his kitchen. In the end, he's kicked out of the kitchen and I think homeless.
Was he like head chef at that restaurant for a little bit?
Okay, so let's examine the events of Ratatouille through Chef Skinner's eyes.
Yes.
Okay, he works in a very busy restaurant. Now, the death of Gusteau, Chef Gusteau, has lost them a couple of Michelin stars, but they are still very prestigious.
Wait, the death? Yeah. Okay, look, surprise, I haven't seen Ratatouille. Someone fucking dies at the start.
It's like,
so Ratatouille loves this chef called Chef Gusteau. Yeah. And Chef Gusteau's like, anyone can cook.
He's voiced by Raymond's brother, Robert. Yeah.
Robert Ramone. Robert Ramone.
You know, the secret other Ramone.
That's who voices
him. I combined Romano and Barone and got Ramone.
Exactly.
Robert Ramone.
I hate Raymond.
Let's crack bop.
But he voices the chef that Ratatouille the rat loves.
Yep.
But then he's died a while back.
Yeah.
So he dies prior to the film starting.
Yeah. They don't be like, let's open this kid.
Having
a heart attack.
Well, I shouldn't be that shocked because the next film they made was Up, and that literally happened.
It's Pixar. It just wouldn't be surprising. Anyway, so he runs a pretty impressive restaurant. Three Michelin stars is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah.
Achoo, just kidding. Can't sneeze at it.
Exactly. And then
One Michelin star is pretty impressive. You know how many Michelin stars I got? No.
Zero. Man, being one person with any amount of Michelin stars, I am a restaurant. Come to me, I'll cook you something. But so the chef's, I don't know, son, long distance son, arrives at the restaurant. He needs a job. Already a big hassle. He's not French. He doesn't know what he's doing, but you got to hire him. You get him to throw out, you know, whatever. He does the bins.
He's like basically a waiter, but he's shit at that as well.
Absolutely.
But he wants to be a cook.
And then a rat comes in your restaurant, okay? And you get Linguini, the son of Gusteau, to kick the rat out.
Is he the son of
Gusteau? He's related to Gusteau in some capacity.
I just don't know if that's true.
And then...
Let him misremember this film.
And then you begin to suspect that not only has Linguini brought the rat back in,
but that he's involving it in food prep.
Not even just that. First off, do you think in this world that rats have magic power? No.
No,
you don't. So one day you're just going to be like, Linguini, there is a rat in your hair, and he's going to smile at you and be like, yes.
Yes, chef. You'd be like, no.
Not yes, chef. No, chef.
You should not have a rat shitting on your head, Linguini. Get it out.
Yeah.
But like, it's even
weird. Scream. That is the appropriate response. This one says, there's a rat on your head.
But it's even stranger because you know, you ask him specifically to get a rat out of your restaurant, and then the next day you suspect he still has the rat, and you're like, what happened? Why didn't you throw it away? Why have you carried it this whole time?
Why do you get a disease-ridden rat and not just, like, kept it as a pet? Like, if you're like, all right, so I'm like, Linguini, please, we have a bit of a rat problem. There's this one rat. He's big. He's a big sucker.
He's a huge
we need
rat.
Him out of this. You know, it's a fucking restaurant,
three
Linguini.
Michelin-star restaurant. And then...
then, right, so you're like, okay, so he gets rid of the rat. And he's like, okay, so he's got rid of it. Maybe he didn't kill it.
Yeah.
Because you're like, okay, maybe he's maybe a bit he's of a kind soul.
He's
maybe
not
he's like,
kill
maybe I'll try and tame a street rat.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's your
and
own
prerogative. He takes it home and he cares for that street rat. And you know what? Not my problem.
Yeah, that's just a pet. That's a man with a pet. That's a nice. That is a man who is capable of loving a disgusting beast like a rat.
You can have a rat. Rats are fine. That's not my issue. My issue is it's a street rat that he's picked up off the street.
And then,
that's fine.
No.
Pick up a dog from the street. That's would you be upset at that? Would you be like, if I'm like, hey, there was a stray dog, I picked it up, it's now my friend.
I mean, that's a bit.
I don't know if you can call any rat a stray
or a friend.
Yeah. Not like you look at it like birds in a tree and you're like, look at all these stray birds. Oh no, where are their homes?
Yeah, you'd be like, I don't know, maybe finding a wild dingo.
Yeah.
And being like, look at this stray I got as it bites your hand.
Yeah.
Oh, it loves me.
It's giving me love bites.
And then Linguini becomes a really good chef, and you begin to suspect the rat has something to do with it. You see
the leap there is yeah. Phenomenal.
I would just be like, wow, I guess he's doing a lot of training. And if I uncover that he's got a rat in his hair,
yes.
I would not be like a magical rat. I would be like, right, there was it's psychosomatic.
He has the plague.
May need to fire this boy.
Look, it's understandable that he now thinks the rat is making him a good chef.
Yeah.
But I think he's just psychosomatic and this boy has had a mental break.
Well, from memory, the things that Chef Skinner witnesses, obviously Linguini becomes a great chef. He suspects he still has the rat, but he can't see it. Then he takes in the chefs. Linguini makes delicious meals. Secretly Ratatouille.
Yeah. Oui.
So he's like, well, I guess...
His name's not Ratatouille.
It's Rami.
It's Rami the rat. As well be
Remy the dirty rat.
So it's Remy the dirty rat doing all the cooking, right? But whatever, he thinks it's Linguini. He gives Linguini a chef's hat. He finds a rat hair in it. He's very suspicious. And I think at one point he sees Linguini giving Remy the dirty street rat like a strawberry as like part of a deal. And he can see that they're having like a communication. He becomes very paranoid and then is eventually kicked out of his own restaurant. And then discovers that the rat can cook, and he's not happy about it. But the movie's like, he's been justly kicked out of his restaurant when a rat... You can't get a rat clean enough. A rat shouldn't be cooking in a restaurant.
There's a reason why we generally wear like hair nets and like gloves and all kinds of things.
Because a rat...
It's
dirty.
Yeah.
It walks on its hands. That's dirty. Sorry. I'm not eating rat soup.
But why not?
Well, I might.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've seen you do far more disgusting things.
In Remy the Dirty Rat's defense.
Okay.
He's not actually handling the food.
Yeah, that's true.
He's in a self-contained...
At the end of the film, he is.
At the end of the film, he is. And then, I'm not eating at the dirty rat restaurant.
So, like, Ratatouille ends with they make a ratatouille for the food critic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he loves...
film critic.
He's like, this isn't a movie, it's a meal. What's happening? But so then they... The critic's like, who made this? And they're like, we'll tell you. You got to wait till everyone's left the restaurant. And then they tell him it was a rat. But it always annoyed me that the film critics, like, review.
food.
The food critic's review at no point mentions that a rat cooked the food, but then the next scene is when they've opened a rat restaurant. Mm. Like I'm still not eating there. If you found out a restaurant was run by rats or that rats were involved in the cooking process, would you go?
No. I'm like, look, if they made sure that there was like every rat was dunked in detergent and cleaned,
Jackson.
I'd be like, yeah, no, not even then.
Jackson.
Yes.
Look, you're at your house. You hear?
Hello?
On your front door.
I'll open the door first. Yeah.
Hello, Jackson, it's Dusha. Open the door.
What? Hold on.
That was the door opening. Jackson.
What?
I came here as quick as I could. Down the corner, there's a restaurant that's run by rats.
I pushed past you.
Let's go eat there.
I've not even locked up my house. I've just gone. He's they can
bed.
Have it.
There he's is in bed. He's running on his hands, leaping like some kind of lupine beast down the street.
They can have it. I don't know who they are, but that's cool. As if I'm like, hey, there's a restaurant run, literally run by rats.
Yeah.
Somehow it's health. Somehow it's health safe, but do you want to go eat it?
Yeah,
of course.
But okay. I'm a specific kind of person. Let's reverse that situation.
Hello?
Hey, Dusha, there's a restaurant run by rats. Do you want to go?
I am incredibly curious. Absolutely.
Do you want to go and eat there?
I'll decide when we get there.
Just imagine looking in that little window into the kitchen and seeing filthy rats.
Yeah.
Like picking up, like it's just bad.
It is. Like I've been to, those cat cafes.
Yeah. I guess seeing rats run over food before you eat it is bad. Yeah.
But like I've been to a cat cafe and you sit down. There's humans make the food, and then there's cats that are around, and they might come and sit on you, and you can scratch their faces and whatnot, and that's fine. But imagine imagine a rat cafe where there's just a horde of rats that can ride over you as you eat your food.
Hell yeah. Give me that dirty rat cafe.
Wrong person I'm talking to. But then one step again is just, and then the rats are involved in the food.
Aren't rats just, when you think about it, very little dogs?
No.
Yes,
no.
But would you go to a dog-run restaurant?
Yeah, once again, would you? Like a
There's
dog...
no restaurant run by animals that is good.
What Chimps? About birds?
Chimps is gross too.
They shit.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining like a dog with a wooden spoon kind of mixing a good like bolognese and it just kind of drooling in.
The worst thing is that the only way to make it really hygienic or one step towards is shaving off the rat.
Yeah, shave those rat.
That's so much worse. It's so much worse. No chance of fleas. But imagine you're watching them cook an onion soup, a rat falls in, climbs out. All the rats look at each other like, are we going to still serve this? It's a shame to waste soup, you know? And like, even if that doesn't happen, you never know.
You have rats been in this soup?
Yeah, you know, you're eating like a chicken breast or something. Yeah. And you're like, is this a chicken breast or is this a big rat?
Did a rat fall in? This is bad. And might I remind
when
you
that, yeah. It was the scare in Australia when KFC accidentally cooked a bunch of rats.
Yeah.
Would you have still gone to KFC?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's
the
just,
risk. I mean,
it's minimal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but KFC's run by rats.
KFC.
That's crazy. Imagine KFC run by rats. They're so close to the deep fryer all the time.
Well, that's probably
that's
what
like
happened.
That's like a volcano.
The deep fryer is a volcano for rats.
That's scary as hell.
That's like if we just worked like we were recording and in the middle of our studio, there's just a lava pit.
Yeah, like our pit just.
Yeah, but how does Remy the Dirty Rat and his Dirty Rat friends end up making food when there are such problems like fire?
They just risk it. They climb spoons.
And now I'm imagining putting that spoon in my mouth
and
I don't like it.
It's foul.
No.
And might I
remind
you,
there's going to be so many. Like with chefs, they get like a lot of burnt fingers and like cuts and everything like that, right?
Dead rats,
now imagine just a big knife on a rat hand.
Yeah.
That whole rat is losing a whole hand.
Hey, here's the thing no one's discussed. Rats just shit.
Yeah.
Rats just shit wherever. And Remy. Like
he's got no sphincter control.
Yeah, he's just gonna shit. So
okay, so is that
kitchen's full of rat shit?
Is
Go
that
on.
Your biggest issue?
It's one.
If
of
you
them,
had to rank them,
if I had to rank the issues with
Ratatouille as a whole.
Rat run restaurant.
Rat run restaurant. It's dirty rat hands touching my vegetables.
Yep. Dirty rat feet running over my spoons.
Absolutely. Rats possibly falling in. It's rat hair, little rat shits.
So rat shits is like quite low.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, what if we give rats anuses, like assholes, like sphincters?
They
like,
have assholes.
What if we gave them sphincter control? No, I...
What if human. We gave them bum cheeks is your question?
Yes, that's probably what I was
if
trying to
if we gave rats human asses, then that restaurant becomes a whole lot cooler. Hey, what a juicy rat restaurant. Every rat is thick as hell. Come on in. Whoa, you could just put these thick rats on display. You don't need to cook food. Dude, is this allowed?
Hey, do you want to go to this restaurant run by rats with thick asses?
No. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to eat, but damn, I want to see it. Bang, 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 like knocking on the window. Can you do this?
Is this street legal?
These rats are juicy as shit, man.
That's the thickest fucking rat I've ever seen.
Holy shit, back that cake up. Let's talk.
Look, okay, I can see why you want that villain to win.
Yeah,
you want,
well, and also, Chef Skinner, the restaurant has no Michelin stars at the end because it shut down. So he would have kept
rightfully so.
Yeah, a lot of people in a good job, but yeah. So yeah. Look, he should have won, but, you know, a juicy rat restaurant would also be good.
So
yeah.
For him to win, he would just need to kill that rat, fire linguine.
It would have to be, instead of him getting linguine to take the rat out, he gets a big meat tenderizer and just squishes Remy in the head and he's like, well... Back to cooking.
Washes the hammer first.
Possibly throws it out.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, that's not food safe. Don't do that.
Sends Linguini home to wash his hair.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's like, maybe Remy's... Linguini get another job.
So Linguini's hair is going to be caked full of rat shit and
full
piss.
Of rat shit, yeah.
Ratchet and piss.
And yeah. Remy's a boy rat, which means that he's got big old dangling testicles. Obviously, Pixar can't show that. But now imagine a rat maybe putting the finishing spices on your meal, and as he scurries over it, his testicles drag across your mashed potatoes.
Okay.
Mashed potatoes is good because you see the little ball drag.
Okay. How about this? Can we
stripes. That's cool.
Can we improve the rat restaurant by giving them little tiny gloves?
Yes.
Giving them pants.
Uh huh.
With like a shit sack, I guess.
Nappy.
You mean a nappy?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I'm here to buy shit sacks for my baby.
I'm like, yeah, look, I've invented a new pan. It's called a shit sack. Nappies? Fuck.
I've invested so much money.
3 years into this in my life.
Shit. Fucking hell. Fuck. Shit sacks aren't going to work.
And maybe a full body hair net.
If you shaved the rats and put them in diapers and gave them gloves and little shoes,
I don't think shaving
they would
them
look like tiny foul babies.
No, they wouldn't.
At a glance,
maybe.
Holy shit! Is this restaurant run and cooked by little babies?
Oh no,
they're just nude rats. Oh my god! Well, I guess not nude. They got a diaper
got,
on.
They got diapers and little booties.
Run, but
they must shit heaps. Still gonna give them an ass so they fill out the diaper. That's fair.
How does a bum cheeks work on a rat?
They don't have them. They just
got
a flat back.
In this situation,
in the juicy rat world.
Yeah.
I assume it's like under the tail,
And they got big curves.
Two bum cheeks.
Actually, we've seen this.
Have we?
There is a mechanic. That we often pass.
Oh, there is!
That has a very thick and juicy rat.
The most baffling mascot.
As a mascot.
It's just like an auto repairs shop. But their mascot is a rat backing up to you with the juiciest, thickest ass looking coquettishly over its shoulder at you.
And then pointing at his...
Yeah, pointing at his asshole. What's happening?
Park your car in here, big boy.
Yeah, it's so strange.
It is beautiful.
And now a quick word from our sponsors.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Also, hey, can you do me a favor? After this episode is over and you've cooled down and finished writing your angry letters to the plumbing boys, head over to Kickstarter.com and back A Boxer, a gorgeous graphic novel about a gay fighter who struggles between the hyper-masculine, aggressive world of combat sports and his sexual identity. The team behind it is made up of Eisner Award-winning Hassan Ostman Elhau and Dente Award winner Amanda Miranda. It's published by BHP Comics, and all funds raised are going towards paying the artist for their work and making sure the book you helped support makes its way to you. So come on, shoot off that angry email to the plumbing boys where you tell us how wrong we were, and then head over to Kickstarter.com and back this award-winning team. With just £5, you can receive rewards ranging from the digital comic to an original page of art from the book. That's Kickstarter.com and search for A Boxer.
Anyway, Chef Skinner should have won.
Oh, 100%. I agree. And you know who else should have won?
Who's that?
William Stryker from X-Men 2, X United.
Absolutely.
His big plan was simply just to kill all the mutants.
Yeah.
And look, while I'm against, generally, while I'm like, look, hey, mutants have rights. At this point, if someone else is doing the atrocity, then it's kind of like,
Yeah, how do you feel about that argument? So you're about fourth. Four sentences in. You forgot about human rights.
You've either got to be on the killing mutants train, which I definitely am.
I have not thought this through.
While you try and come to terms with what your brain just did, would you like me to talk about my one that's...
No, I can salvage this.
Okay.
All right.
That's exciting.
Yeah, let's see how...
You either just got to jump on the mutant train, every mutant is born with a gun in their mouth or whatever.
Or you just need to turn the gun the other way around. Yeah. Sort the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. So William Stryker is... his plan is to kill all the mutants, and he's doing this by using his son because he wants revenge on all the mutants because... His son made his wife, the mother of Jason, to get a drill and drill her own head.
Okay.
And then, look, mutants are dangerous.
That's true. They're no good.
This is a very simple way.
Is that what happened in X2?
Yeah, that's why he hates mutants.
That's so intense.
That's an intense way to
die. Real grisly. Yeah,
because, again, his son, Jason, was just like, Mastermind, I think he's based off, was just like, you know, his illusions, his old manipulation of minds, whatever. And he did it to the point where he convinced his mother to drill.
William Stryker should hate his son.
He does.
That's good.
Certainly does. But he also hates all mutants. And as you've pointed out, mutants are dangerous.
They're no good.
They are very
The world
no
is
good.
Better off without them. That's just life.
And look, and while it would be lovely if we could all live in peace, everyone could hold hands. Some of these mutants are born with a gun in their mouth. Some of them convince their own mothers to drill their heads. So is a nice way. It's a very simple solution to get rid of all
choice. Really do not like this. Rats, killing rats. I'm on board with that. They always start getting a bit. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I don't like this. Maybe I hate this a lot.
At what point during the my mutant extermination episode and this episode did Zamet come onto my side?
Zamet was like, huh?
You know, I've had some time to meditate.
Gun in their mouth.
You know, I've prayed on it, and I guess Jackson, in many ways, you're right.
Yeah,
mutants are dangerous.
I strongly disagree.
So, yeah, look, as I think about it, maybe how about Magneto in the same movie?
Okay. See,
so what he wants to do is he wants to kill all humans.
Okay,
you've
somehow
you've gone worse.
Well, You've just gone bad again, probably the same level.
Well, no, but I mean, like, there's an argument to be made for exterminating all mutants.
Okay,
there's no argument to be made for exterminating all humans.
Let's backtrack a film.
Okay.
X1. Magneto. Magneto's plan was to make everyone mutants.
Okay.
Turn the guy into that wet slime thing.
Could, so if he had won,
yeah,
he would have turned every single person into mutants, and then the playing field would have been level, which is what I was trying to get at, but then I forgot a lot of death, a lot of just
making everyone mutant seems like a great way to end the world.
Yes,
you definitely will end Rogue's world because she has to die.
Hey, for the greater good,
yeah. Ice Rogue. She's dangerous, dude. What if she forgets her gloves one day?
Yeah.
How often has
What if she trips and lands face first on a person?
What if she's in the shower and she slips on a bar of soap and she falls out the X-Mansion window onto a whole bunch of mutants that were underneath doing a huddle because they're about to play a game of American football? And they all get sucked into her, whatever.
How often have you gone, okay, if I was like, there's a girl in America that if she touches you, you get sick.
I'd be scared.
No, you wouldn't. You'd be like, that's weird. I'm going to research that. Oh, she seems cool. That's exactly what you'd do.
She's got cool hair. I wouldn't look it up.
You would look it up. You'd be like, maybe
You'd be like
is...
that. And I'd be like, cool. And then I'd forget about it.
Maybe that's a bit spooky. Oh, no, I've forgotten about it. I've started thinking about
I'll be like,
rats with guns or something.
How do a frog's legs even work? Wikipedia-ing that.
So X1, Magneto tries to give the whole world mutant powers.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he does have the plan where if those people get mutant powers for a good 24 hours, then they all die and turn into goo.
Wait, why?
He hasn't quite mastered the whole turning everything into mutant powers. So let's jump forward two films.
Okay, sure.
To X-Men 3.
All right.
Where there is a cure
I'm
for
Juggernaut,
mutants.
Bitch. I remember, yes.
And there doesn't seem to be any side effects.
Doesn't that get rid of everyone's cool powers, though?
Yes.
Like, no, Storm?
Hey, Jackson, yes. Shut up. Do you know what else gets rid of their powers? Killing them.
Yeah, but that's that's like a blanket thing.
So's this!
Yeah, I guess.
So I'm
why?
I'm going to be on the side of Warren Worthington II.
Okay.
Who is like, sees his freak child with wings, is like, none of that. None of that.
For a family man, you sure do side with people that hate their children a lot.
That's weird that a lot of the X-Men villains seem to.
Huh. So, if you think about it,
yes.
William Stryker clearly hates his child, but Warren Worthington II loves his child so much
that he wants that to get wants rid to of give, his wings.
That he wants to give him a normal life.
I don't know.
I don't like the arguments I'm choosing.
X-Men Origins. Let's see what we can find there.
All right. Let's move back a few films. Or forward, depending.
The Soviets?
Okay. The Cuban Missile Crisis.
Okay. Nah, let's get out of here.
Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past, dude. Days of Future Past.
Okay. The end of the world.
Days of Future Past. Okay, so we've got a bunch of robots, and they just need to kill mutants.
Damn it, it's X2 again.
Okay, forward again, forward again.
Apocalypse.
He wants to
rule the world by killing everyone.
Yeah, but does he have a good reason?
No.
He's old.
Does
he make more mutants? Does he make mutants better?
He makes a few mutants more powerful and then uses those to kill. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Okay.
All right. Well, the only avenue you have left is Dark Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix. So.
X-Men 3 again.
X-Men 3. No, there's no cure in that.
There's
an alien. There's aliens.
Yeah, they want to.
Okay, look, humanity's cooked it.
Yeah, that's true.
We've done some bad things to our planet. You know what? We had a good run.
Yeah.
And maybe we should be like, hey.
You've been dancing around an argument that I think would have served you a lot better.
Yeah.
Which is, but this person already did win. But it sounds like you just want an Adrian Veidt, but in Marvel.
A little.
You gotta, hey, can't get world peace without breaking a few New York cities.
Well, yeah, there does seem to be this whole, you know, mutant and human.
Human.
Mutant and human divide.
Yeah.
And so it would be nice if that was all peaceful.
Well, the aliens in Dark Phoenix, I think, just want Dark Phoenix, right?
Yeah, but they also... Didn't they want to also destroy the world at some point?
I think eventually, but that's true for so many people. We might as well pick that.
So yeah, mutants in... the Dark Phoenix.
This is the only safe place left, dude. Yeah. You better pick. There's literally no other... Until New Mutants comes out in 2020 or whatever, you're cool. You're done. Well, yeah. Yes.
You could probably pick a villain that just isn't the major. Like, maybe you want Sabretooth to win.
What did Toad want?
Toad?
Nothing good.
Something slimy for sure.
Okay, so Sabretooth wanted to kill Wolverine. Ah, Wolverine! Wolverine Origins!
Oh, okay.
We've got that. What did he want?
What did he want
what
in
did
that?
He want in that?
What about Logan? Jump Logan. Forward to Wolverine.
Yeah. Oh! Logan!
He wants...
Yes.
The villain in that.
The villain in that, he simply wanted to feed... He basically poisoned the water supply with mutant-suppressing water.
Uh-huh.
Everyone drunk it. No mutants.
So,
but then he won.
Yeah, the villain had already won at the start of the film.
So is... So is Logan the antagonist?
No.
Nice try.
Not even close.
Nope.
Good job.
Oh, wait. No. Okay, you want the villains of Logan to win? That's a couple of kids with bullets in their brains.
Oh, that's true. Oh,
yeah. Gosh.
Again, you've gone for something that involves camps. And
what about the Wolverine? This is the last one.
That's the Silver Samurai. Yeah. What's his motive?
He wanted immortality.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. He just wanted to do...
At what cost?
You Wolverine. Kill Wolverine. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares
Take
about
bones,
Wolverine?
It's fine.
Whatever. Wolverine's basically a big piss baby anyway.
He's lived enough life.
Yeah, he's been around since like the 1800s
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, that's heaps of... Everybody should have max 200 years.
Yeah, so let's get old mate. Was he running the Yakuza though?
Oh no!
Yeah, but what?
Am I arguing for more Yakuza?
Are there any other Marvel?
Deadpool.
The villain. Okay.
Ajax.
Yeah.
He wanted.
What did he want?
To make everyone mutants again?
Did he?
It's really crazy.
He kidnapped his discovering.
How much of the X-Men films have one of two possible plots?
Genocide or mutant cure? Yeah. Oh, no, it's like more mutants or less mutants.
Yeah, that's it. Every X-Men movie.
What was the plot of Deadpool?
Because Deadpool wants to be cured.
Yeah, and that guy loves making more freak shows.
They go to like Department H, Weapon X, whatever it's called in that one. And he just was like, hey, we'll cure you of your cancer, but we're going to make you look like a ball sack. And
what about Deadpool?
Deadpool 2. So the he kills humanity.
No, that's not the villain though. Really, the antagonist till he becomes a protagonist is Cable. So maybe you want that kid from Hunt for the Wilder People to die.
But because
so
without Deadpool's interference, the Hunt for the Wilder People kid. So I forget the kid's name.
Me too.
Who knows? Yeah. Anyway, so he's destined to basically and commit a lot of genocide happenings in the future. He kills Cable's his family.
Yeah, absolutely.
He kills a lot of other mutants and humans. And he seems to have no regard for human life.
So
sometimes you gotta
kill a kid.
Shoot a kid in the head.
Look. You're at a dead end. This is end of the road for you, Joel Zammon. There's no other X-Men movies for you to hide in.
Fuck.
I think that was the best one you could come up with.
Yeah, so...
But if we were grading these, that's an F.
Yeah.
And again, you see that in Deadpool 2, a film that you've now forced me to remember,
yeah,
that at the end, The kid doesn't turn bad.
Yeah, no.
But he could have.
But he could have. Because but another villain in that, isn't that like an abusive...
Oh, there is. Yeah. Damn it. Damn it.
Maybe you want Juggernaut to win.
He seems happy.
What's he doing in that
He
movie?
Wants to be out of the damn van. Or
He just wants his freedom.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Stay there and don't think about it anymore.
Doesn't he get his...
Why do they have X-Force in that film?
No!
I hate Deadpool.
Yeah!
I hate him and I hate his fucking movies.
That's fine.
Some of the comic books are okay, but then I think about them too long and then I start to hate them too.
Absolutely.
Well, that's 100% an okay opinion to have. I did not care for Deadpool 1.
Oh!
Yes?
I've got the perfect one for you. An antagonist that you wanted to win should have been Fox Studios when they refused to greenlight Deadpool. But Ryan Reynolds sadly leaked footage, and then the internet was like, no, we want this. And now we have Deadpool 1 and 2.
That's true.
And because Deadpool 1 and 2, we got a Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that's true. What a terrible chain of events.
So if it wasn't for Fox
Ryan
Studio
fucking
losing.
Reynolds, if his internet connection just didn't work.
Yeah. Really? Fox. Probably, what, AT&T at this point?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, if Fox hadn't, like, backpedaled and hadn't have greenlit Deadpool, we wouldn't have gotten... And we wouldn't have got The Joker.
Yeah, man.
Another film I hate.
Wow, there's a lot... Wow, that chain of events is crazy. That domino effect is scary.
Yeah, it's bad. Domino, she's in Thing of Things Block.
That's true. Well done.
Yep, I remember. Yeah, never forget.
She got a lot of luck power.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess, yes. So if Fox had won, we wouldn't have gotten a lot of terrible films.
Yes.
Yes.
That's you settled somewhere good. Well done.
So final grading on that. I was writing a B, and then I remember that I said fictional when I asked the question, and then I crossed out the B and wrote D.
Hey, D's get the grades.
Absolutely, that's a pass.
It's a pass through creativity and ignoring most of the question. Yeah, so okay, mine was really easy to come up with. That is the janitor from Scrubs. I wish that he won and JD got fired, and therefore Scrubs didn't exist.
Great to have a TV show that ended the first season. First episode, fired. And you're
like, jammed this thing in this door or whatever, and JD's like, what? And Jenna's like,
I'm taking this to Kelso. And Kelso's like, disrespecting hospital property?
Yeah,
you're
like,
out. Fired.
You're a fucking doctor.
No,
what the
not even that. At that point, he was like a fully qualified doctor?
Yeah,
or
I
was
think
he at least like a student doctor doing his rounds? No, he might have been a fully qualified doctor.
Yeah, I reckon it was his first thing as a doctor.
Yeah, you're right.
Your first move as a doctor shouldn't be playing fuck-ass with a door.
Yeah.
Stop being... Don't just stand there in the fucking hospital.
Surfers a lot.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
I think.
Maybe. Yeah. That seems weird, though. That doesn't seem like a band that Zach Braff likes. He'd be like, I like The Shins and... Thinking
Nothing
about
else. Yeah. And that is it.
Anyway, yeah, so Janitor's like, you broke this door, and JD's like, no, I didn't. And the Janitor's like, no, like, I'm taking it. Like, what the fuck? It's your first day.
And at the end, in the finale or whatever, he did do it.
Yeah.
He admits to it. That he should have been fired. That.
He should have been fired.
Janitor's like, well, that's not good.
Yeah, I know we've grown, but that's an ultimate betrayal very early on.
Yeah, you kept that a secret this whole time.
I'm very sorry, JD, but I'm going to have to force you to remember Scrubs.
Oh, no. This is a lot. I don't like that I got called JD after remembering that the character's name's JD. I also don't like that I'm going to have to remember Scrubs now.
Yeah. So, JD, were there any times where JD in Scrubs, not you?
Mm. I don't like this.
Any times in Scrubs where he, because of his doctoring or his incompetence, fucked up colossally that people died? Because I'm remembering it, there was a lot of times where JD was pretty good at being a doctor.
Yeah, but...
Yes, he was immature and a bit of a dickhead, but he had pretty good bedside manner. In fact, he was often complimented by having such good rapport with his patients.
Yeah.
The patients seemed to love his little wacky hijinks.
Do you remember him getting any awards for being the world's best doctor? No. Do you know what would have...
did any of them? Is that a thing? Is that a...
No, but
is that
he
an award you can...
Through his just being the worst boyfriend slash friend in the world to Elliot really crippled her self-esteem, which probably made her a worse doctor.
True, but then she also started her own, like, general practice.
Later on.
But she might have done it sooner if JD had been fired straight away.
And not presumably wrecked years of her life.
And Dr. Cox had a pretty bad run when he fell into depression after all those patients died through no fault of his own. Yeah. But maybe if he wasn't busy babysitting JD so much, maybe he would have picked up that woman who was donating all those organs had rabies.
Hold on.
Also,
slowly JD is becoming the villain, which...
Oh, no! No. No, in it.
He's going to remain the protagonist a bit, guys.
It is his story.
That's true. It is his story, one way or the other.
Look, he does make everyone... Like, he's like, oh, no, I'm such... He's one of those guys that's like people that think they're like the hero and a nice
guy.
That's
true.
He's actually shit, but he still is the hero.
He still is a good doctor.
Yeah, but, okay, give that job to another doctor. Someone who didn't get a chance over this under this fuckwit.
Absolutely.
Maybe that
they're... It's not a one-in-one-out policy.
Well, it depends. Maybe it could have been. And no, it wouldn't have been one-in-one-out, but him getting the job means that he probably got the job over someone.
That's true.
How many fucking general practices do you think are like, we wanted to hire six doctors, but only three applied?
There is a clear case where someone's death is directly resulted because of JD's incompetence. So we're looking at when he got a bunch of interns and there was the Keith that he hated and he wanted to get him fired because him and Elliot were hitting it off.
Sure.
So,
crazy unprofessional. Yeah, disgusting.
Yeah, he hated Keith. Keith was an amazing doctor. And there was another one who was a bit of a goofball that JD loved.
Of course.
Franco?
No, not Dave Franco, someone else. I don't remember his name, but he did like a chimp impression.
My brain just remembered Steak Night. And then I was like, no, that was Turk.
I'm just trying not to remember as much Scrubs as humanly possible.
There was this guy, he's a very terrible doctor that JD was ignoring.
Okay.
And then Cox was like, when JD was complaining about, well, Keith, but never said his name, Dr. Cox is like, yeah, that guy, he's terrible, and made JD realize that a person he was overlooking was actually garbage. And so then he fires him. But when he fires him, that guy then goes to see an elderly woman who everybody loves.
Sure.
And he picks up a dirty hanky, throws it out, covered in germs, and he goes and he shakes that lady's hand, and you see this all happening as the show goes on. You see the germs on his hands go to the germs on her hands, and then she like touches her face, and in the next episode, she's dead.
Whoa.
Directly responsible, JD.
If he'd been fired, it wouldn't have happened. That, he that killed old lady an old
would
woman.
Would have been alive, and everyone would have loved her.
Plus, I just feel like everyone's lives would have been nicer without him. Yes. You know?
Imagine trying to work as a doctor in that fucking hospital, when all you hear in the background is like, Eagle! Tuck! Shenanigans! Elliot! I'm daydreaming! Yeah. Shut up!
Awful. The daydreaming especially. Imagine you're like, anyway, time to prep for surgery or
and
whatever.
And the show it's not just like a quick thing. Like, he's out and they're like clicking in front of like, he's in his own world again.
Bad! No! It's not good.
He also ignores anyone who is married.
Whoa.
Oh, no. Yes, he does.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah. He's a dog shit man.
He is a dog shit man.
Which is why he should have got the death penalty.
If the janitor had been like, hey, as a trick.
JD should have been forced to seppuku, kill himself with a sword at the end of the first episode.
This hospital has a very interesting policy when it comes to matters like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm against it. It's just controversial.
How did he keep his job? Like, everyone, they're all bad.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Some of them, like, Turk probably would have been a better doctor. Well, is shown, because he starts excelling as a surgeon later on, and JD kind of gets jealous, I think. Again, trying to
that just sounds really hard not to remember, but... Yeah.
Elliot, again, would have been a much better doctor. Well, she becomes an incredible doctor at the end, but self-esteem is shown to be, like, her personal struggle, which is mostly caused by her shithead negging boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, 100%.
And he's a garbage friend!
He
thinks he's
a
good friend, but he's a bad friend. He's the worst.
They should have cancelled Scrubs.
They should.
The general public is the villain for enjoying the show.
Yeah! NBC? Why'd you keep greenlighting it? What's the creator's name? Bill Laurie? Bill Lawrence? Bill...
Now Lawrence is right.
Yeah. Bill Lawrence? Fuck Bill Lawrence. He's the real villain. He's like, I've got a terrible idea that I'm going to inflict on the public. And then for 8 long and... dog shit years.
And a sneaky ninth one.
Oh, God, no. Maybe that one's good because he's barely in it. Who knows or cares? The general public. Fuck.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been also Joel. I don't like JD. That. No, I haven't.
You're JD.
You're JD.
And I'm Turk.
That's all right.
I'll be Kelso.
No, you'd be Dr. Cox, I think.
All right.
What's Turk's wife's name?
I don't
name?
Know, dude.
Carla?
Yeah, you can be Carla.
All right. Get to hook up with Jack.
All Marry right. Jackson. Thanks for listening. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at Sanspants Radio, or you can find us individually. I'm at Douche13.
I'm at Old Dog the Dead.
And I'm at Goddammit Zammit.
If you want to hear our other shows, you can head to SanspantsRadio.com and you'll find all our other content there. There's heaps. And if you want to support us, head to SanspantsPlus.com. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you again next time. Good night for now.
But not forever.
Kisses.